Well, hello there. It's another day. I'm Jim Harrington.
And I am Bill Knight. State of the Union Day, finally. I guess they're going to do it tonight.
Yeah, they're putting up fencing around the Capitol, you know.
Oh, yes. Yeah, well, we got
it. You know, but I'm thinking to myself, who's going to go down there and cause any problems? I mean, is that just for show? I think so, to make it look
like it's... Well, yeah, and who knows? You know, I predicted yesterday... He won't actually come out in the podium and do it. He'll do it behind a desk because of security, because, you know, he is a national treasure.
Yeah, of course.
And he's under threat by that terroristic group, MAGA. You know, they're everywhere.
You got to watch out for them, really.
But you know what? It's going to be a great show tonight because Donald Trump, once again, is going to do a play-by-play of the State of the Union. Yeah. So get your snacks early because this is going to be
What's that going to be on? Do you know? Do you have any idea where that will be broadcast? Is that going to be on Truth?
I don't know if it's on Truth or if it's going to be picked up by a network of some sort. But
yeah, maybe Right Side Broadcasting or something. You know, we'll have it. Right Side.
Well, maybe
Broadcasting.
That's what he would. Yeah, it could be. It could be on Twitter or X.
Could be. It'll be interesting to see how many people follow along. There are people. I was listening to a talk show this morning out of Boston, and they were like taking bets as to how long he'd go, whether he would make the whole speech. Or whether he would fade, you know, during the middle of it.
Haven't seen him for the past week, so he's been resting. And he, you know, he did his little vacation. And, you know, I don't see how this guy can rehearse.
Yeah.
Because he can't hold a thought. You know, he's got to chase it around in his mind. You can see
it
when he's
sitting it'll be interesting. People will be watching just to see how long he lasts. Not for the content of what he's saying, because it'll be all hogwash. It's going to be a political rally. It'll be the largest rally he'll probably ever speak to this year. There'll be all the Democrats in the House.
You know? Do you think he is going to talk about the State of the Union and things moving ahead, or is he going to do a campaign speech?
It's going to be a campaign speech about all the great things he's done and
But he hasn't done a damn thing.
Well, I know, but Joe doesn't.
Well, he'll blame it on Trump.
Oh, of course.
Everything is.
But I got to tell you, there are supporters of Joe. There are people out there like Joe Scarborough, you know, from Morning Joe. Here's
Who?
A guy, Joe Scarborough. You know, he has probably less viewers than we have listeners. Seriously. The guy.
I've never heard of him.
Well, yeah. Joe and Mika. He has a haircut like Gumby. If you remember the old cartoon Gumby, that claymation character, you know, with a funny shaped head, that's kind of the haircut that Joe Scarborough has.
I know the dude. Doesn't he have a talk show that's liberal?
Yeah. Gumby has. Yeah, you follow Gumby and not Joe Scarborough. Joe Scarborough was on his program yesterday talking about how sharp Joe Biden is, listen, he even kind of gets a little ticked off at the MAGA people who don't believe his analysis. Listen.
But comparing that guy's mental state, I've said it for years now, he's cogent. But I undersold him when I said he was cogent. He's far beyond cogent. In fact, I think he's better than he's ever been intellectually. Analytically, because he's been around for 50 years. And, you know, I don't know if people know this or not. Biden used to be a hothead. Sometimes that Irishman would get in front of the reasoning. Sometimes he would say things he didn't want to say. This is, and I don't really, you know what, I don't really care. Start your tape right now, because I'm about to tell you the truth. And F you if you can't handle the truth. This version of Biden, intellectually, analytically, is the best Biden ever. Not a close second. And I've known him for years. The Brzezinskis have known him for 50 years. If it weren't the truth, I wouldn't say it. And you.
Oh, this guy is as dumb as a box of rocks. You know, he is living, breathing proof. Mind you, this guy, Joe Scarborough, is living, breathing proof that you really shouldn't judge people based upon the clips that they present to you in Washington, because there was a time in my life, maybe 10, 12 years ago, when I thought that Joe Scarborough was a, up-and-coming young conservative and somebody to look at, because he seemed to be saying all the right things in Washington. And it just goes to show that we don't know who the heck these people are that we're rooting for in D.C., with the exception, by the way, I think, of Donald Trump, because Donald Trump is under the microscope constantly. The poor guy, I'm surprised they don't report on his bathroom habits. But the fact of the matter is, he is what you see. He is a guy who's given up all of his wealth and good fortune, essentially, for this job and for us. But these other guys who stand in front of the microphones, these other representatives who come out and seem like they're on our side and they're standing with us, you know, they're not what they purport to be, some of them. Some of these guys are just outright liars. It was amazing yesterday. I don't know if you saw this or not, but Mitch the Squish, he came out and endorsed Trump. He had the audacity, after all of the things that he's done to stab Trump in the back over the last 3 years, he had the audacity after the win on Super Tuesday to come out and to technically support Donald Trump in his presidential campaign. I thought, you guys have the gonads of King Kong to stand up there and to do that after all you've done to stab the guy in the back.
He always wavers in the wind. He never really takes a firm stand on anything, so he just figures he can vacillate back and forth, and now he's vacillated towards Trump. It's, you know, it is apparent that Trump is going to walk away with everything. You had the somewhat of a ruling from, even though it was unanimous, that was a smackdown to the left and what they've been trying to do with the Supreme Court, and so the states can't hold Trump responsible for the insurrection, and he was never charged with it and everything. Of course, now you've got Democrats who are going, okay, we're going to forge a bill that we'll go back to the insurrection thing and do it through Congress. Guys, you got to go back to the beginning. Except for the news, and you say, oh, yeah, it was an insurrection. The people that you've tried and locked up, Trump was never charged with it. He's never been prosecuted for it. He's never been, it hasn't happened. So to sit there and hold him accountable for an insurrection, you can't. And I don't know what they're trying to do, but the Mitches of the world, they'll vacillate and blow with the wind.
Well, I got a feeling there's more of them in D.C. than we can even imagine. Don't you think?
I think there's a lot of them in D.C., but all we can do is hold true to our faith, our feelings, and, everything rests on Trump. Now, are there other, everything that's been thrown at Trump has come from the Democrats. Democrat, 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 maybe a rhino here or there, but Democrat, it's all done. Look at Fani. She testified that she never went to the White House, especially before she charged Trump, indicted him for RICO violations and the 18 others. Well, wouldn't it, the court documents, their calendar shows that she was there, I think, like 3 days before she did that indictment, and she met with Kamala, and they had a meeting. Well, what did they talk about? Because already she's been caught in yet another lie, and she also was caught in, the timeline has been lied about Wade. The money that went to Wade came from
Did it really surprise you? I mean, seriously, we know that the DA from New York has gone down and talked to the White House. Letitia went down and talked to the White House. Mm-hmm. We know that Fani, you have to say it right, Fani went up and talked to Kamala. I have actually this is the audio from Ashley Merchant. She's one of the attorneys going after Fani, and she was subpoenaed to speak in front of a subcommittee in Georgia yesterday. And, people say, well, she had to be subpoenaed. She's in an active case right now, and she would never volunteer information to the legislature or anything like that unless she was subpoenaed. She had to be subpoenaed. Do you know what I'm saying? You don't, in the middle of the case, start talking about your evidence of an active case unless you are being ordered to do so. So she was up there, and it was an interesting hearing. Here's a little segment of what she had to say about what Fani was doing.
There's one of the other things I did was I did a open records for the White House access, and we had records that Ms. Willis and the mayor of Atlanta were at meeting with the vice president.
Okay, and so this is the access history. How does that work? The White House keeps records of anybody that comes in and has any kind of official meeting, for sure?
Yes, and my understanding is it's highly regulated who can access the White House, and so you have to apply in person or apply ahead of time, and then they give you a time when you make the appointment, and they give you a time when you're allowed to be in and when you have to be out by, and they track you. And I mean, that makes sense. They don't want anybody, you know, lingering in the White House, but they keep that. And so they're called WAVE records, I believe is what they're called, and I'm not sure what that's an acronym for, but they're publicly available. They're open records.
And this record that's shown on the screen shows Fani Willis was a visitor with V. POTUS. I presume that's Vice President of the United States.
Yes. Yes, it was.
And what was the date of that back in, was that February sometime of 23?
February 28, 2023.
Is that before the indictment?
Yes.
Okay. Any further explanation of why Ms. Willis was meeting with the Vice President of the United States?
No. I know Dexter Bonds, and I believe that's the same one that Mr. I think it's Dickinson or Dixon, the mayor of Atlanta, was also there.
Okay. Now, we're going to take a short break. We've been going at this for a while. Let's take a somewhere between 5 and 10 minute recess, and we'll be back.
Listen to this, though. I mean, that to me is election interference, pure and simple. These people are doing things in the White House, Bill, that had never been done before.
Right. Now, they're going to point out, or the left will point out, well, you don't know what the meeting was about. Nobody knows what the meeting was about. But here is the other side of that coin, and that is that Fani lied and said she never went to the White House and to, you know, specifically or inspecifically to meet with Kamala.
Yeah, it was just a tourist thing. You know, she just stopped in to see the White House. Yeah.
So she really can't sit there and go, well, it slipped my mind, because if I went to the White House and I met with Kamala or Joe or somebody of prominence, I think I would remember that date. And I think you would too, and I think the average person would. So why did she lie? What is she protecting? And it's not just one lie. It's numerous lies.
Well, there was another witness who came forth. You know, the case, they all rested, and it's the judge now who's deliberating. But apparently there was another witness that was brought forth the day before yesterday or yesterday that wanted to testify against Fani. And it's like they're coming out of the woodwork right now.
But here's my question.
Okay.
You know, because basically they did that case, and they rested. He goes, okay, I'm going to deliberate on this. I'm going to figure it out. And people are coming in after it. Can he sit there and say, well, all that evidence was interesting, but, you know, I got to rule on everything that happened in the court. Mm-hmm. So, in other words, you know, this evidence has come out, but let's just say it's come out now and how she got it, and, you know, be that as it may. I'm not going to consider it because it came out after the fact, and I have to go with what came out in court.
Well, this guy, if you watch this judge appeared to be a very fair guy. I'm hoping his verdict is fair and honest, but he seemed, while he was handling the case in court, this young judge seemed to be very balanced, you know, with both sides. I got to think that if somebody brought an honest piece of evidence to that courtroom before the verdict was in, he might at least consider it. I could be wrong, but, you know, it'll be interesting to see whether. I have a feeling, I think I read that they're going to hear another piece of evidence, which could be this witness. So we'll have to keep our eyes open for that. But, you know, Bill,
I would just sit there and say, you know, if he doesn't rule the way he should,
yeah.
I'm not saying how he should rule, but let's say If he doesn't take all this evidence in account, then the only thing that I can think that they're doing right now by hearing this is, you know, going on record to line up who their accusers are so they know who they can target and hit next. You know, because they're very nefarious. There's nefarious things going on.
Well, big time. Bill, this is – what we're seeing is classic election interference. I mean, we have – you and I were just talking about this before the show started. The Supreme Court said that they're going to hear the Donald Trump presidential immunity case. What was it, April 25th?
Yeah, they're taking a lot of his cases in there. Now, their ruling the other day, you can read a lot into it. Mm-hmm. You can sit there and not get a lot of substance in other cases, but it does draw into the sights in a good way for conservatives the January 6th riots and, you know, the people that, you know, copped a plea to Fauci, because now, you know, it brings the whole thing into question, and this could, you know, that in and of itself could turn that case on its head with the Supreme Court.
A lot
ruling.
Of people think, though, that they gave us, meaning the people on the right, the Trump supporters, they gave us a cookie with the verdict this past week, and that the real verdict is the one on April 25th about presidential immunity, and a lot of people feel that's not going to go the way it should go. It should go that presidents should have immunity like they've had for the last 235 years. I mean, they have had immunity, pure and simple. They're presidents. All of a sudden now, the Supreme Court has to determine whether they have immunity, whether they have partial immunity, or they have no immunity. All of a sudden, we have nine judges deciding on something which has been considered law, essentially, since the beginning of our country. And a lot of people, I heard Dershowitz say the day before yesterday, I think it'll be a partial win for President Trump, meaning when he's doing presidential stuff, he will have immunity. This is how he answered this. And Dershowitz is an esteemed professor, but when he's doing non-presidential stuff, he won't have immunity. And that's all well and good. That sounds great on paper, Bill, but who determines what is and isn't presidential?
That's what my point was going to be here, is that we're talking in specific about January 6th. And until Biden took the oath of office, Trump was still the president.
Right.
True?
Right. So, exactly. Right up until the moment.
When he was doing that rally, you know, it was a peaceful protest, but there were either nefarious interferences to make it look different, or there were some ill-doers he got in and got it. But either way, he wasn't there. It wasn't an engineered thing, but even so, he was the president. So I would say that falls under the umbrella of presidential duty. I mean, if it doesn't, then, boy, you know what? During the Biden administration, the 325,000 people that have been flown in
That's my next story, Bill. Go ahead.
And you know, but we're talking about, well, you know, there's this rule that they have on this, but we were bringing in people that are fleeing the country that were imprisoned, and these are bad people. You can't sit there and say anything else. I don't have the story right in front of me, but they were bad players. They had convictions. So we're giving them safe harbor here and paying for them, and we flew them in, and they're not citizens, and they're not going to be citizens.
Trump is hanging on to this story. As a matter of fact, during his speech just yesterday, when he was excited and, you know, talking about the victory on Super Tuesday, he said this.
He's the worst president in the history of our country. There's never been anything like what's happening to our country. Today it was announced that 325,000 people were flown in from parts unknown. Migrants were flown in airplane, not going through borders, not going through that great Texas barrier that I was with the governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, the other day, and we were looking at the
job they're doing. But in the meantime, they're pouring into California and they're pouring into Arizona because those governors aren't doing anything. They're doing nothing. But today it was just announced before I came out. It was unbelievable. I said, that must be a mistake. They flew 325,000 migrants, flew them in over the borders and into our country. So that really tells you where they're coming from. They want open borders, and open borders are going to destroy our country.
This is not going to be a small story. I'll tell you why. I mean, and Trump, I think, is going to hang on to this story because it means so very much, and I'll tell you why. It's one thing for the illegals to come across the border, you know, go across the wall, and then they're arrested, and then they're processed, and then they're given a pardon and sent on their merry way, or they're bussed or flown somewhere. It's another thing completely to have airplanes that are out of the country, you know, maybe down in Guatemala or someplace like that, right? And they load them up with illegals, these American airplanes, and they fly them over our border security. They fly them into our country, not just into El Paso or Brownsville. They fly them into Manchester, New Hampshire. They fly them into Philadelphia. They fly them all over the country, all these different places. And that's treason. That's an act of treason. You are aiding and abetting a crime, technically, right, legally, by doing that. And that's the Biden administration. That's treason.
Well, I forget what it's called. It goes back a long time. There is a law that allows us to fly in a criminal for 2 years. I forget what it's called, but it's a Protection Act. But we're talking about less than a handful of people.
I was listening this morning, Bill, and that doesn't apply to a group of criminals.
That was my point that I was leading to. You know, again, the law applies to a very unique and specific conditions and circumstances.
Yeah, the court knows about it.
But when you have this, a plane load after plane load, that's 1,625 plane loads, I think, is what we calculated on the numbers yesterday. You know, then you're sitting there going, now that is heinous, and that is using that law or that rule. It's not a law. That's very thin,
and we're talking about
treasonous.
We're talking about absolutely, totally unvetted people. They don't know who these people are. They don't know whether they're terrorists, whether they're bombers, whether they're murderers. They don't know whether they were released.
Well, I think they do know who they are. I think they do know that they're bad players. And theoretically,
specifically, they don't know who they are. They gotta know. Anyone with an ounce of intelligence has to know if you have a plane load of strangers, there's got to be some criminals on board. So that's logical. But they don't know specifically if this guy is from Yemen and he's on the terror wanted list because they just let him on the plane, and then they flew him to wherever he had to go. You know, I mean, that's the thing that's the danger. It's not the general, well, you know, there's got to be some bad person on the plane. It's that specifically, you know, that there is some very, very, very bad people who are being flown into our country by our own government, and they're not doing a damn thing to protect us. I mean, that pisses me off, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
you know,
it pisses me. It should piss everybody off. There was an old movie once called Con Air. I think Nicolas Cage was in it.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is basically, this is Con Airlines of the U.S. government, and apparently Joe Biden is the president of it.
Only exception is we knew who was on the Con Air flight.
Yeah, well, these we don't.
Right.
And, but, you know, they will come in to our country. They're coming here for a reason, and they probably have an assignment to do. And, but, you know, if they do that assignment, disrupt the election, they disrupt the people, are they going to leave then? Or are they going to, are they here? Because, you know, how are you going to find them all? Do we know where they live right now?
No. They drop them off in Manchester, New Hampshire, or someplace like that. We don't know where they go. We don't know what they're hanging around. How would you like to have a student who goes to, let's say, St. Anselm's College in Manchester, a big liberal arts school up there, and you're sending your kids up to Manchester, New Hampshire, In the meantime, the government's sending terrorists into your in that same community, into that same area. And by the way, it's physically not a terribly big area. Now, as a matter of fact, it's one of the only cities in the entire United States that has got a main street that's a dead end at both ends of the street. I don't know. It's kind of an interesting a little aside, but Manchester is not a big city, so they're dumping all these strangers off. I use Manchester as an example. They're dumping them off all over the country. Bill, I'm angry because I have, like so many of our listeners, I've paid my taxes. I've done what I was supposed to do as an American citizen, and I've, so in return, our government is almost punishing us. You know, we're being told we're probably going to have a terrorist attack. Just kind of accept it. We don't know what it's going to be, but Christopher Wray said that he wakes up every night, every day, concerned about the next terrorist attack. Not a matter of if it's going to happen; it's when. And I'm thinking, this is the guy who's the director of the FBI, and he's just accepting it like it's no big deal.
Well, that's their way of giving us fair warning that something bad is going to happen. And everybody I talk to, I hate to keep using the word nefarious, but, you know, everyone is looking at this border situation. They're listening to what Joe and the Democrats have to say. And I hear it from Republicans and I hear it from Democrats that something nefarious is going on. And I mean, the Democrats, they're willing to say that, you know, Trump is a threat to their democracy, our democracy, and they're willing to tear down every institution. But, you know, they will tear down every institution to stop Trump. But it also, you know, unless we agree with what they say, they will keep tearing down.
All right, question. Would you, is it a possibility that the left has considered that maybe the way to stay in power is to allow some major crisis to take place in our country, maybe just before the election?
Well, that would give them the excuse now, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Because if something bad happens, then they're not stealing the election anymore.
No.
They're protecting democracy, and they're protecting you. They had to do it. And
all these people getting together in polling places.
This was Trump's failed border crisis, you know, that he created.
Yeah. Oh, no.
And the only way we can protect this now is to lock her down and take control.
Well, and you know what he's going to do, Bill? You know what he's going to do? They're going to say, look, we're going to have the elections, but it'll be down the road, and they'll be all mail-in ballots. Because we can't have any people get together at polling places because it's far too dangerous.
The elections will be a sham and a joke.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, we're getting ready to go into a police state and military state because we're protecting you. I mean, lack of a better way to put it, we talked about eyebrows and facial things, but, you know, I probably can say it this way. I'm not going to say the B word, but the Miss B brows. Kathy Hochul has said now, well, you know what? We are going to do bag checks again. They're going into a military lockdown with the extra people to look through bags for guns. Well, wait a minute. And we're going to have other ways to detect guns. Okay, they're going through bags. So women, don't have a little handgun, even if you got a permit in New York, because you can't have that, and they're protecting you. The criminals, they don't. There are plastic guns that can't be detected by a metal detector that can fire.
It's interesting that people don't realize that, Bill. But that's very true, what you just said about plastic guns. Composite guns?
Composite guns and Are there composite shells that have, you know, the gunpowder in it and a composite bullet that comes out of the shell?
Well, you know,
probably
so. You know what they say? You probably have heard this. A hitman once, I think he used an ice bullet. And he used an ice bullet because when he used it on the person, the bullet melted. They couldn't find a bullet afterwards. You know,
I know in Texas, they have ice bullets. They've had them for years, and they have the coolers in some of the DPS offices.
Really?
And yes, they do. And the only reason I know is because somebody I knew, well, I knew a few people inside the DPS.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just something they don't talk about. And I'm going, why would a law enforcement agency? Now, this was back from the days when they were more Democratic than conservative.
Mm-hmm.
But why would they have that there? You know, and so ice bullets do exist. The government has them.
Yeah.
But that's outside of what we're talking about. You know, if New York is doing the lockdown of or close to it of the police state from Miss B. Browse, then obviously, you know.
Well, you know, Bill,
who's going to be next?
You look at the situation in New York, and who created the problem? It was the Democrats. It was Governor Hochul and her lack or her inaction. They fostered an environment in New York of all of these illegals, and now they have a massive crisis on their hands. They have these Venezuelan street gangs that are roaming the street, beating up people and stealing things and hurting people. And they're doing it, by the way, without consequence. They're going into subways, and you can see the videotape. Just go online,
type in.
Let me ask
you a question.
What?
Well, I'm saying, yeah, you're talking about the Venezuelan people and all of that, and they're going to do bag checks. So if you go to New York for a shopping weekend, you and your wife, is checking her bags going to make you feel safe from those Venezuelans?
No. No.
Because they're not going through the bag checks, and they're not checking them. And again, we could go to composite guns or a knife,
you know,
or anything blunt and sharp.
You're assuming also that these National Guardsmen are going to be like Superman. You know, are they going to put one guardsman per car? I wouldn't want to be a lone guardsman on a car. What are you going to do?
Well,
I mean, I can see maybe putting three guardsmen on a car.
Well, how I see these foreigners work. They work in mobs.
Yes.
They one person goes up, pushes you down, then they all come up and they beat and kick you and hit you with a bat. They checking for bats. They checking to see if you got steel-toed boots on. What are they checking for? Oh, we're looking for guns. They're disarming you that wants to protect yourself because the real thugs in the world are in charge.
Can they take away a bat from somebody? I mean, if a person gets on a train, they have a bat in their hand. Is that technically
illegal?
I'm going
to a ball game. I got a ball cap on.
Yeah.
My glove right here. Here's my baseballs in this bag.
Yeah.
You know, but then when I meet up with my thug friends, I'm going to use the bat, you know, and
to
everything else.
To beat the living daylights out of somebody.
Yeah. You know, so, yeah, the thing is, you know, they've imported thugs, but I'm going to just call it like it is. These Democrats that are doing this, they're the real thugs. They're the big thugs. So they'll bring in these, what they would call little players, to use them as the reason and a distraction to disarm you, and then the real thugs can take over.
Yeah. Well, you know, Bill,
you're at their mercy.
You got to look, step back for a second. If you are new to politics, if you haven't been paying attention, maybe you thought yourself to be a Democrat your whole life and you bumped into the show by accident, and maybe you kind of chuckled at first thinking, what is this, you know? But then you realize that we're talking your language, you know. That's fine. Look around the environment at what's happened over the last 3 years. All of the bad, okay? The violence in the streets in 2020, that wasn't done by MAGA people. That was done by leftists, by anarchists. That was done by violent anarchists. That wasn't people from the right. That wasn't people who believe in the Constitution and American values. Look at the border situation. Under President Trump, whether you like him or not, whether you giggled at the guy, whether you thought he was his personality was too much, whatever, the fact of the matter is he protected our border like no president has protected our border. He put 550 miles of border wall up and would have finished it, by the way, if he had been given the time. But as a matter of fact, there were hundreds of tons of leftover material they hadn't put up yet, and Biden sold that stuff at pennies on the dollar. He just got rid of it. He didn't even store it in case he had to use it again. So Biden got rid of all that. Biden got rid of all of the protections. He handcuffed the Border Patrol agents. He allowed them to become essentially travel agents for illegal immigrants who were coming across the border. They came across, they processed them, they gave them checks, they gave them passes, they put them on airplanes and buses and shipped them to destinations unknown, maybe your neighborhood, maybe where you are right now. Okay, and you know, if you think it's not going to happen to you, if you think, well, I live in the suburbs, I'm not a city dweller. No, they're going to come to every town in America. It's pure and simple. Don't think you're going to be immune. Don't think that it'll happen to somebody else and not to you. It's going to happen to everybody. Okay, and you better think for a second about who you're voting for in 2024. Even if you don't like his haircut, even if you think he's got an ego the size of Cleveland, even if you don't like his attitude, you have to love his performance. If he says to you, I'm going to protect the border, he protects the damn border. If he says, I'm not going to put us in unnecessary wars, he doesn't put us in unnecessary wars. The guy we have in office right now, the bumbling, dangerous, you know, we talk about him like he's a feeble old man who's, you know, it should be in a restaurant. This guy, yeah, he's feeble and he's bumbling, but he's dangerous. He's putting us in jeopardy. He's putting your family in jeopardy. If you don't believe it, I want you to look around. Think for a second, okay? Just think of where you are right now as an American citizen. You're afraid that somebody, you know, there are going to be graduations pretty soon, right? I'm delighted about the fact that I have a beautiful granddaughter who's graduating, and she's done very well in college, and I'm so proud of her. And we're going to go to a ceremony, I think. We're going to go to a and now we're concerned about this, and I think everybody should be. The, you know, mass gatherings of normal people, you know, but there are so many strangers in the world, and they're going to be looking for targets. They're going to be looking for opportunities to hurt good, decent Americans. So I think everybody should be concerned right now, this coming graduation season. You know, I mean, this we shouldn't have to think about that. You know, my father fought in World War II to protect our country, to keep us free and safe. You know, so many Americans fought and died to keep us free and safe. Friends of mine in Vietnam, who died in Vietnam, fought to keep us free and safe. People in the Iraq War, and yet, we're not free and safe. We're in a very dangerous situation right now. Now, I could go on, and I apologize for getting wound up, but I think it's important that you really stop. Don't look at this show, for example. Bill and I are, well, you know our opinions. We've been doing this for, this is our third year. You know where we stand. We're two conservative guys. We don't make anything for doing this. We do this as a patriotic gesture. We believe it's important that, to the best of our knowledge, we speak the truth and try to explain to people why we believe what we believe. You can call us MAGA, you can call us right, you can call us whatever you want to call us, but we think of ourselves as Americans, pure and simple. We're just pure and simple America. We believe in the goodness and the greatness of this wonderful country. You know?
Well, you know, we're all Americans, everybody. I mean, even if you're liberal at heart, you're still an American. The thing is that you've got to get away from the people that sit there and want to sit there and cast negativity out there and the hate. You know, I don't mind having a fair conversation with anybody with an opposing view, because that's what America is about. And then we come to a consensus. But right now, what's going on the left, and yes, there are rhinos that way too, it's their way or the highway. That is their form of democracy. See, and as I said earlier, they'll burn down the institution that actually safeguards democracy. So, you know, what's going on with the news and the lefty thing, just get away from that. and make your, you know, draw your own conclusions.
We talked,
you know,
about that fence going up tonight during the State of the Union.
Well, it's up, yeah.
That's for show. That's to, well, like to make it look like there's something to protect them from, you know?
Well, who are they afraid of, MAGA? I don't think, but they'll say it's MAGA.
Yeah, yeah.
And I still, you know, I got doubts as to whether Joe is actually going to come out there on the podium, if it's going to be Joe, mm-hmm. or if he's going to be behind a desk, because they're going to say, well, we've had threats. And I don't think him by himself can sit there and sustain a 1 hour or 2 hour speech. He has a hell of a time doing a one minute speech. Do you think he has the cognitive ability to do it? Yet I think he's going to go out there, do his Biden, you know, pro-Biden, anti-MAGA campaign stump, and everything's going to be blamed, and he's going to take credit for, you know, the great economy and everything that's going on. You know, the stocks were going up. They're tanking right now. They are tanking this week. You know, the cost of living for everything is going up. You want to buy a house? You're really the common person with a good job, even if they're in six figures, they can't do it because the interest rate's too high. Then the market's gone up, although the market is starting to crash in other places. But still, we've got a bubble out there. And I think Trump was right back in 2016. There's a bubble looming. Joe has brought it to the forefront by his policies. And this bubble's going to pop. And it's going to leave a lot of people who maybe haven't yet felt it. Everybody is going to feel this pop.
Well, you know, I think that you could be right. They may do a last-minute switch tonight. It'll be interesting to see whether he actually walks in there and stands up for 45 minutes or an hour and does.
Well, have you seen him walk lately? He is like the baby with a diaper that's loaded, you know, yes. Doing that step, you know. And then when he talks, you know, I'm Joe Biden. And I just got off the phone with Margaret Thatcher, and you know he's
if he got off the phone with Margaret Thatcher, he's got a terrific phone. She's been dead for 10 years.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. He has conjured up all these you know people of the past. You know, like I like to jokingly say,
he was in consultation with Winston Churchill. Yes.
Yes, he was, and he just got an endorsement from Strom Thurmond. But you know,
that's true. You know, it's interesting.
Old buddy.
Another interesting story. I haven't got the audio, but to take my word for it. Yesterday, Marjorie Taylor Greene was. I guess it was the night before last at the Trump speech. She was, walking out of the rally. You know, the Super Tuesday win rally at Mar-a-Lago. And she was stopped by this British reporter, and at first she started to talk straight to her about interesting questions, and Marjorie Taylor Greene gave her a straight, honest answer. But as she was walking away, the reporter asked her a cheap shot. She made some comment about, well, what are your thoughts on, and she said, and I'm paraphrasing, but I think this is what she said, what are your thoughts on the Jewish laser weapons? Satellite.
Actually,
she said
Jewish space lasers.
Yes, that's
and
what it
because
was.
Because it just sounded like something that would be out of, the National Enquirer.
Yeah.
Well, let's back that up. What is a laser? Okay, it's a particle beam. It's like your little lasers that you chase the dog
sure.
or the cat around with, they chase. But they have powerful ones. As a matter of fact, we have been in development of, and the British have been in development of, I believe, and Israel has some pretty high technology. There are land-based and satellite-based, you know, laser technology. And, you know, so the Jewish thing was just a cheap shot.
Well, you know what she said.
This laser thing is a cheap shot.
Do you know we've got warships they're testing?
Yes.
With laser cannons.
Yeah. Well, Marjorie Taylor Greene told her to F off and walked away, essentially. But the thing that's interesting, you and I, we did a five-minute check, maybe less, maybe three-minute check.
Oh, it took 30 seconds.
Yeah. And we found that it is a reality. Israel has been working on laser weapons, both land-based and satellite-based, for years. And they have a land-based weapon they use right now that can knock incoming missiles.
It was a major publication that had a story about it.
Well, Wall Street Journal did a report. I want to play a little bit of what they had to say. This is from the Wall Street Journal's video report on Israel and laser weapons. Listen.
This laser weapon can strike targets such as drones, rockets, and mortars, and can do so for a fraction of the price of other missile-powered defense systems. The Iron Beam is an experimental project built by Israel. It could be used in conjunction with the Iron Dome, which launches rockets and is considered one of the most advanced air defense systems in the world. Israel says the Iron Beam could enhance its protection against threats from Iran's allies in Lebanon and Gaza. But some defense experts say the technology has several weaknesses, including its short range. To perfect the system, Israel is in talks with the U.S. about cooperating on the technology. Here's how the laser beam system works and why some military analysts say American expertise could enhance it. The Iron Beam is composed of a laser gun located on this swiveling unit, a surveillance system that tracks incoming threats, and a command center where operators give directions. Israeli officials say the laser gun fires a beam that uses 100 kilowatts of power. That's around 100 times the typical electrical power that a household in the U.S. uses. Here's what it looks like in action. This footage from the Israeli Defense Ministry shows the laser striking down a rocket. Israel's goal is to integrate this weapon into its arsenal and also save some money. That's according to military analysts who say the laser would allow the country's army to reduce its reliance on the more expensive Iron Dome. One interceptor missile fired from the Iron Dome can cost $50,000 or more. In contrast, Israel's departing Prime Minister Naftali Bennett said the Iron Beam could do the same thing for as little as $2. It's Uzi Rubin, a defense engineer and military analyst. He says the Iron Beam, despite all its advantages, has a lot of issues to overcome.
This is not a silver bullet, as it sounds. I mean, this one is a short range, the other is the sensitivity to weather, and the third is a low kill rate.
Let's start with the weather. The issue is that the system's sensors can be hampered in rainy and cloudy conditions. That means the Iron Beam may not be operational in Israel in colder months such as November and December, according to Rubin. If the weather prevents it from working, Israel's defense ministry says the Iron Dome could kick in. Another vulnerability is said to be the range. The beam loses power as it travels through the air, making its impact on the target less powerful. It's known as the bloom effect. And then there's the speed at which it can take down objects. The period of dwell time before the laser damages its target makes it slower than the Iron Dome.
If you push the button, your beam touches the rocket at the speed of light. But then it has to keep pumping energy into the rocket until it melts or explodes something.
That process could take a few seconds and hamper its ability to combat multiple incoming rockets, Rubin says. On its own, the system could struggle to counter strikes similar to those seen in this video footage, where rockets are fired from position in Gaza City towards Israel in May of 2021. Still, Israeli officials said the Iron Beam could be deployed early next year. Israel's project comes amid a global wave of interest in laser-powered weapons. Countries such as the U.S., Russia, and China all claim to work on the technology, which some defense experts say could be a key component in future warfare. The Pentagon is working with major defense contractors and testing advanced systems based on similar technology to Israel. And some U.S. tools are estimated to be capable of firing a 300-kilowatt laser, which is more powerful than the Iron Beams. The more kilowatts of power the system has, the farther the laser can strike targets, although laser makers in the U.S. and Israel told WSJ that the range of laser weapons can vary widely, also depending on the type of target. The Iron Beam is designed to detect small targets up to 12.4 miles away, according to Israel. Analyst Uzi Rubin estimated that American lasers could strike twice as far as Israel's. That's still much lower than the Iron Dome, which can hit rockets at a distance of up to 43 miles. Because of all those limitations, security analysts say Israel is seeking support from the U.S. to enhance the weapon. President Biden was showcased the Iron Beam during a state visit to Israel and signaled U.S. support for the tool.
We have reaffirmed the unshakable commitment of the United States to Israel's security, including partnering with Israel on the most cutting-edge defense systems in the world, including the U.S. support for the Iron Dome and Israel's new laser-enabled system called the Iron Beam.
Congress is moving ahead with plans to send Israel another $1 billion to the Iron Dome, which the U.S. Army has also been testing in some military bases. Now, any new cooperation on the Iron Beam could accelerate the process of making laser weapons a reality on the battlefield.
You know, I was listening to that, and first, Joe sounds inebriated all the time now.
Yeah,
which
he
is,
does.
Which is an embarrassment. But one of the things that stood out to me was the fact that they were talking about rockets being fired from Gaza in 2021. And I'm thinking to myself, Israel has been put up has put up with these incoming missiles from Gaza for years.
Yeah,
you know, and they've just let it. They've coexisted. I mean, how would you like to have a home and, you know, you're always under the constant threat of a missile dropping in your backyard or even on your house?
Well, I think let's go back to the original interview and where they. The interviewer confronted Marjorie Taylor Greene, you know, with the she didn't say Israeli,
didn't
missile, laser missile,
right,
or a laser beam. She said the Jewish space laser. That was a racial term.
Of course.
Let's say that somebody from Germany is developing that, and they could be.
Yeah.
It was the Nazi space laser or the Kraut space laser. That's a racist term.
What if Nigeria was doing it? What would they call it?
Yeah, I know where you're going with this.
The person that was wrong was, you know, you should have a license to do the news. You should have to apply for a license.
Yeah.
And I would say revoke hers, send her back to the cuckoo farm.
In the environment we live in, the left would take away all conservative reporters' credentials. They're doing it now anyway. Look at Catherine Herridge, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Look at Laura Logan.
They stole the files to sit there and see who her informants were. I say informants, who the people were that gave her the stories. Which, you know, you can subpoena somebody and they say no, you can throw them in jail. But, you know, it's always been the code. You do not give up, you know, your contacts on that. That's just the thing. That's just a creed of, you know, being a journalist.
Yeah.
But they gave her back the files going, okay, now you give them up or we're going to charge you. We're going to lock you
up. You know,
they said.
Well, we didn't look at your files. We had security guards standing around to make sure that they weren't tampered with. Nonsense. They looked at the files, then they closed the box back up and said, okay, there's nothing to see here. And Catherine Herridge, being the astute journalist that she is, and she probably sensed before it happened, she probably sensed something was coming down. I don't think she was totally blindsided. She probably took measures to protect her sources, and she memorized them. She's a smart young lady. She might have memorized.
Well, maybe they weren't in those files to begin with. I mean, you know, if I were doing that, and I'm going, okay, I got source files, and I said I wouldn't divulge,
right?
You know, well then,
you can put them on an SD card, couldn't you? A little SD card.
No, you can put them on an SD card. You can do a lot of things with them. You can put them in a cookie jar and bury it in the back of your backyard.
Yeah, it's true.
And put a little plant over it, and you go, well, where is it?
That's exactly right, and that's probably, you know, what she's done. You know, but
it's
now
under the mushroom plant over there. You know,
they're charging her $800 a day for non-compliance. $800. I mean, first of all, the fact that a judge would demand that she turns over her confidential sources.
A liberal judge, by the way.
Yeah. I mean, that says enough right there. That the verdict from that judge should be illegal. That judge should be answering some questions about where you actually came up with that. You know, how do you – this freedom of the press – you know, the press is, I mean, look, I'm not a big fan of today's press. I think they're a partisan group. But the fact of the matter is, under our Constitution, there are certain inalienable rights that the press have, you know, and they shouldn't be messed around with by some liberal judge. But then again, you look what's happening to President Trump and his cases, right? You got all these anger on that fat head up in New York, that disgusting, despicable fat head who wears a robe in New York, who comes down with an asinine verdict. And, you know, and the fact of the matter is the media the media almost applauded the verdict. Like, oh, $455 million. The fact that Trump was not allowed to present any evidence or have any experts or have a jury trial, that meant nothing to those clowns who, in the media. They are clowns. The only thing they are really missing are the red nose and the floppy shoes and maybe a horn on the belt. That's all they're missing.
By the way, Biden is selling those, you know, because he's trying to answer Trump's golden sneakers. So, yeah, he's got his Biden clown shoes now.
Really? I bet you. Yeah, if you're, I'll buy a pair.
You have to be liberal to buy a pair.
Oh, really?
You couldn't own a pair. No, you got to be a bleeding liberal to buy one. And, you know, because that's how in case they couldn't identify each other. That's,
yes.
By wearing those shoes, they'll be able to quickly identify each other.
Hey, if you were what's his name? Who's the guy who is the actor who was, isn't it awful? My mind is, it went into neutral when I wanted it during
you
that.
You can see him as clear as day.
No, Baldwin, Alec Baldwin, okay?
Oh,
if you were Alec Baldwin right now, see, I knew it would come to me. Just give me a second, you know.
Well,
it's early in the morning. You know, he's got to be a little nervous right now. A New Mexico jury found Rust Armorer Hannah Gutierrez Reed guilty of involuntary manslaughter and not guilty of tampering with evidence on Wednesday after deliberating for about 2.5 hours. You know, and I believe that Baldwin is being charged with manslaughter, too. I think it's a similar charge. So I would be a little concerned if a New Mexico jury found her guilty of involuntary manslaughter, which I think, by the way, is generous. First, I'll never get over Bill. I don't know how on a movie set where you have guns, you would find a real bullet anywhere. Okay, maybe the security guard who's protecting the set, you know, 150 yards away has one on his holster, but that's about it. For the armorer, now, for those of you who don't know what that is, in every television and motion picture where they use guns, there's somebody who's in charge of maintenance of those guns, of coordinating who has a gun, making sure the guns have blanks in them. You know, that's their job. As a matter of fact, they even count the number of rounds that are fired, blanks on the set. So
yeah, it's hard to, if you don't have a trained eye, you don't know the difference between a blank bullet and a real bullet. And even a blank can sometimes go off and shoot and hit somebody. But, you know, people go, well, it was starter guns. Those are cap guns. But
was it
real
Bruce,
guns?
Bruce Lee's son was killed by a blank. You're right. Bruce Lee's son was killed on a movie set when a guy shot him point blank with a blank. And a piece of the metal from the cartridge killed him.
Here's what happened. You know, it depends on how involved the armistice was, but should have known. And Baldwin was the director, so should have known. It was his movie. He's ultimately in charge. But they have a set. Real guns fire real bullets, and they fire blanks. There is not a blank gun that fires blanks and not real bullets. A gun is a gun. That's, you got to understand that.
Right.
What they did wrong on the set, besides just saying, and today you could sit there and chroma cue in a fake gun, but what they did is, or whatever you key it in, but what they did is they brought the blanks there, but they said, you know, when we're not filming, wouldn't it be fun to go out here and target shoot because we got these guns? All right, we'll bring some real bullets. And they got mixed. It wasn't,
well,
you know.
First of all, it was the he was the producer. He wasn't directing. I only point that out because the director was standing behind.
Yeah, that's true.
The director was standing behind the young lady who died.
His movie. He's ultimately, because I think he wrote the script.
He was the executive producer, I believe. But the fact of the matter is, you're talking about nowadays. If you watch, I believe it's The Rookie. TV show The Rookie, they don't use even blanks anymore on the set. They'll pull the trigger, but there's no firing on the set of anything. They add all of the sounds and the muzzle burst in post, which is, you can do. You can't tell the difference.
You got the software, you can do it, but
You know, back in the 1930s, I don't know whether you're aware of this or not, on the sets like at Warner Brothers, they had expert marksmen who they paid a lot of money to for the time, who would, you know, they'd use a Tommy gun. Well, they didn't have the blanks for the Tommy gun. They had real bullets. So obviously you never fired it at anybody, and you had to be careful where you placed the camera. But when they went through, for example, with the movie Public Enemy with James Cagney, 1931, mm-hmm. when you saw Tommy guns going off, they were firing real bullets. There was a time when they were on the sets. But they don't need to do it nowadays. Nowadays, like I just said, in post-production, they add so much right now that you would never believe. I mean, you may look at a scene and say that was shot in the ocean. It may have been shot in the back lot somewhere, and they added the ocean behind the characters.
You don't even need the green screen anymore. You can take out any AI takes out any background.
Yeah,
I could film a scene at a city dump, and then all of a sudden, wow, he was at Niagara Falls.
Yes,
you know, or whatever.
Yeah,
yeah. So it's amazing what they can do, but. And I think Alec was the one that fired the gun. He said the gun went off by itself. He said so many things wrong trying to cover his ass because he knew that he got caught with his hand in the cookie jar, so to speak, and he tried to lie, and that's where he went wrong, you know.
He said he didn't pull the trigger, Bill.
I know. He said the gun went off by itself.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry, but I own guns. And now that particular kind of gun, I think I have a replica of that kind of gun. And for you to fire it, you got to cock the hammer back.
I think you had that stolen, though, didn't you, Bill? I think that was stolen.
It was a collectible. Yeah, it was. Yeah. All my guns are stolen.
Yeah, exactly.
It's amazing. And, you know.
Yes. But, you know, the thing about it is he said that he could the trigger fired by itself, so they brought in an expert. They brought in an expert, and the guy ran all sorts of tests and said, no, that's a perfectly normal gun, and you have to have a certain amount of pressure on the trigger, and it will go off. You know, it's a real gun. But Baldwin tried to sell, I didn't touch the trigger. I was just holding the gun. It went off.
Yeah. Well, it's like the 9mm I used to have. You know, you pull back, you know, on the back of the gun, you pull the back and let it go forward, and now that puts, you know, the cartridge, the shells, you know, ready to fire in the chamber. Where boom, 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 you can do it, you know.
There were a lot of guys in the Old West too, you know, who used to file down their the mechanism so that it became a hair trigger. So you didn't have to put much pressure at all on it. So when they were, if they were doing, like, fanning the gun, you know, we're talking about six shooters.
Yeah,
it would fire faster. You know, so there are such a thing. There are hair triggers, but no, he didn't have a hair trigger gun. He just had a gun and he pulled the trigger, and he thought he was part of the scene. He fired into the camera. You know.
Yeah, I don't know. He had. He lied, and that's he got caught in the lie. Kind of like Fanny is. She got caught in her lies. So it's going to be interesting to see. I did think it was funny, you know, Nassau gone funky. It's got a whole lot of soul. And now Nassau is suing Letitia James for her coming down on them for their law that bans transgender or men competing in women's sports. She goes, no, you got to take that law away. And they said, no, we don't. Yeah, you do, or I'm going to. So they decided to sue her.
Nassau, was this Nassau County in New York?
Nassau County, yeah.
No kidding. Well, you know, she's trying to make a name for herself. She's trying to strike while the iron is hot. You know, you talked about Nassau County. I thought you were talking about the Nassau in the Bahamas. But do you hear what's happening in Haiti right now, Bill?
Yeah.
They're having the gangs in Haiti are at war with the government, and they're actually winning. The president of Haiti is missing. They don't know where he is. And
that's not good.
That's scary stuff. And, you know, there are tourists down there, Bill. People go to Haiti to vacation. I can't see why, but they do.
And I don't think I would. You know, look. You know, I'm sitting there going, you know, you can have a philosophy of you can dream your life away or you can just go ahead and pursue your dreams. And but, you know, if your dream is to go travel and vacation, you know, you almost picked a hell of a time to sit there and pursue your dreams and chase them, because but, you know, it's not safe traveling and it's not safe staying home anymore. It's just not a safe world.
Well, with that, I think we should wrap it up. It's not a safe world. Be safe wherever you are today. Be aware of your environment. Maybe just that's what we all have to be right now, because this administration, this government has made our world a little less safe because of its policies, you know. And they're letting us know something major is going to happen. We don't know when or where, but it's going to happen. And so you have to keep your head on a swivel, because things could get dangerous. If you want to contact us, our number is 833-538-7868. I'm done.
You're done? Okay. I'm done. Mail it. It'sanotherday.com. Mail it. It'sanotherday.com. Mail it. JimandBill.com. JimandBill@mail.com.
I'm done.
Well, then?
Then it only comes down to one thing. I got to sip my coffee first.
Oh, come on. He's lubricating he's vibrating his cricoid, you know?
Oh, hey, you haven't lived until you vibrated your cricoid. Hasta la vista, baby. We're out of here.
This is CRN America.